for this week was John 1:12, if you remember correctly. And so we do need to go over that a little bit. If you weren't here last week or if you just didn't memorize it this past week, that's all right. Just keep working at it. But we are going to go over it a time or two here, and we'll let the kiddos get around there, and then we'll do that. But one of my favorite verses, and as you can see, what we're doing through these memory verses is we're kind of making a progression. We started out with the memory verses by showing people, kind of talking a little bit about this is your need of salvation, right? We talked about it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, things like that. Then we talked about the fact that Christ died for sin. He died for the ungodly, right? Now we're kind of getting in, we're actually talking about how to show a man, we're getting verses that will show a man how to receive Christ as his Savior. And certainly John 1:12 is one of the best places to do that. So let's go ahead and quote that real quick. And we'll do it two times, and then I'll get into the lesson so I don't keep anybody too awful long. We are in John chapter 4, if anybody wants to look there. And we're going to read here in just a moment. But John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Right? Shows a person that they need to receive Christ, shows them how to receive Christ by believing. Let's do it one more time. John 1:12. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." I think I may have gotten one word myself wrong in there, but y'all can correct me later, get in there and read. All right. So what we've been looking at in this class, if you hadn't really kept up with it, or if you hadn't been paying too much attention, we're making kind of what I hope is a logical progression through winning souls. We started out by kind of looking at our motive, looking at in our own heart, what is the motivation? Why are we seeking to win souls? We then moved into kind of some tools, some preparatory steps that we could take to be able to win souls. Some things you need to know and do beforehand. You need to know some scripture. You need to have your little Bible on hand. You need to know how to use gospel tracts. Things like that are all great to have if you're going to win souls. But here for about the past 3 weeks or so, what we've really been getting into is the actual conversation that's going to start when you try to win somebody to Christ. And it is a conversation. It shouldn't just be walking up to somebody, sticking a finger in their face saying, "You better get saved." That doesn't do it. Maybe one time in a million, that might lead somebody to Christ. But the other 999,999 times, it's not going to do the trick. And so, long story short, you need to know how to actually talk with this person. And that's not an easy thing. I mean, it sounds real easy. And if you're very personable, it can be easier. But it's something that if we'll work at it, every one of us can do. I really believe that. Doesn't matter if you're the most backward, shy person in this whole church. You can do it if you'll put forth the effort and you'll pray about it and you'll seek the Lord's help in doing it. And so we've talked about opening up the conversation, getting it started, some things you can say, some ways that you can kind of direct it toward the things of the Lord. We talked last week about keeping the conversation going. I said, you know, the second that you try to lead somebody to Christ, the devil's going to throw a stumbling block right in their way. They're going to say, oh, I've got 5 minutes and I've got to be here. Or, oh, well, I'm waiting on somebody. I can't really talk right now. They're going to do anything to get out of that conversation. It's just kind of uncomfortable for them, just like it was for you probably. Now, if that's the case, you need to kind of be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And we need to know how to keep that progressing and how to at least make them feel a little bit more comfortable in the conversation so that we can use the old sword of the Spirit to get through to them. And so the idea is you let them talk. You ask them open-ended questions. You allow the conversation and kind of help to direct it towards the things of the Lord. And I won't go back into all that. That was last week's lesson. But this week, not only do we want to talk about keeping the conversation going, but we want to talk about overcoming objections. And so I want to show you here what Christ did. Now, Christ obviously is perfect, and we're not. Christ is the Son of God, and we're not. But in this situation, He's a soul winner. He's literally acting just like you and I would if we're trying to win somebody to Christ. And what's happened is a woman has approached Him at a well there in Samaria, right? Y'all know the woman at the well. She's come up to Him, and she's over there, and she's getting water to take home to her family. And Christ looks at her, and, you know, long story short, He says, "Are you thirsty?" Now, starting a conversation, right? Very simple. Something you'd ask Him, he didn't say, "Are you thirsty?" He says, "I'm thirsty." And He says, "Could you fetch me a little water there?" And she turns to Him and says, "Well, you're a Jew. You all don't intermingle with us. You all won't talk to us. No, you all don't even come to this city because we're Samaritans. And so she immediately starts kind of with an abrasive tone, if you really want to get down to it, which people will do with you when you're trying to talk to them about the Lord. Even the simplest question, sometimes people go, well, who do you think you are? You just think you're holier than thou, that kind of thing. That's what she was doing with Christ. Well, Christ set her at ease. He kept that conversation going. He just told her, he said, well, you know, I was a little thirsty. He said, the truth is, that water you're drinking there, he said, you'll be thirsty again. But the water that I can give you will be a well of water springing up in you into everlasting life, and you'll never thirst again. Now, that's kind of a strange comment to somebody who doesn't know the Bible, right? And you can imagine what that woman was thinking. Oh, great, one of these. One of these people. And she goes, what do you mean a well of water? Why are you asking me for water if you already got water? What do you mean this water? She said, I'd love to drink that water if you got it. Now, we read that as saying, oh, great, she accepted Christ. But do you notice in the next couple of verses, as we're going to read them, she's arguing with him. So kind of the idea is she probably was saying, yeah, right, sure, water, you'll never be thirsty again. I'd love to have some of that. And so Jesus says, all right, well, then go call thy husband and come hither. Look down in verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidest truly. Now, you know what he's done? He's dealt with her about sin. He's pointing her toward, you're a sinner, and thus you're in need of salvation. And the woman said unto him, verse 19, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. How did you know that about me? I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. In other words, you don't know what you're worshiping. You have no basis for your worship that you're talking about. But you want a basis? Here we go. Salvation is of the Jews. Even the Samaritans knew that. They knew that the Scriptures came from the Jews. The Bible came from the Jews. The worship that had gone on in that land came from the Jews. He said, so you know at least we can agree on this one thing, right? Look at verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What he's saying to her in a very direct way is, she has brought up a religious argument, an objection. You people say that down in Jerusalem is the place to worship, but my people up here, we worship differently. We worship here in our own town. And you know, every man's got his own religion. That's what she says. So Jesus comes back, very kindly says, what about the truth, though? You have no basis for what you're doing, do you? And she didn't. But guess what? The lost man doesn't have really any basis for what he's doing, and he knows it deep down in his heart. You don't really have any basis. Now, we know one thing. Salvation is of the Jews. That's where the Bible came from. And the God, even the God that you say you're worshiping, he's the God of the Jews. Read the Old Testament. She knew that. He said, so here's the thing. If you're going to worship that God, wouldn't you be willing to say you've got to worship Him in truth? You can't just do it any old way you want to. You need to know the truth, don't you? Now, you see what's happening? He didn't go with her argument. He just said, well, what about this, though? So look at verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. She's brought up another objection. Well, yeah, you think you're smart and all, and you think you're really somebody. And I know you told me about my husband's situation and all that good stuff, but really, the Lord is the only one, the Messiah is the only one that's going to be able to really tell us the truth. You know what Jesus said in verse 26? Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now, we can't say that, can we? But you know what we can say? Yeah, you're right, and I know him. I've met him. See what I'm saying? See what he's doing here? He's allowing her to make her objections, and he's even answering her objections to some extent. And that's a good thing to do. The Bible said that we should be able to give an answer to every man for the hope that is in us. So the idea is you ought to know the Bible well enough, and you ought to have enough of your own study. That means coming to Sunday school. That means reading throughout the week, studying throughout the week. That means spending time with the Lord in prayer. You ought to have enough of a relationship with the Lord and His Word where you can give an answer. You may not always know the answer. Sometimes I have to say, I don't know. I don't know this Bible as well as I ought to. But the truth is, you ought to have some answer to give to every man according to the hope that is in you. They're going to raise objections. You should at least have an answer. But here's the problem. At first, you're probably not going to have the answer, right? You've never done this before. First time. You're not going to have the answer. So what do? Well, you allow yourself to appear dumb for their sake. You know what the Bible said? Study to be quiet. We think about studying so I can go and say, all right, well, I'll show you a thing or two in this Bible. I can tell you, I've studied this thing. Let me show you what I know. That's how we like to do. And I'm guilty of it just like anybody else. Don't give in to the temptation. Don't give in to the temptation to show them how smart you are if that's going to keep them from getting saved. So the idea is they're going to come. They're going to tell you all kinds of things about how wonderful they are and how religious they are and everything else. You know, you don't have to point right in their face and say, no, you're not, you dirty hypocrite. You don't say that. Just allow yourself to condescend to men of low estate. Just back off, back down, let them say their piece. Answer, hey, they say something, they ask you a question, answer their question. Do the best you can. But keep always in the back of your mind that I am directing this person toward Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to give you this. Next week, I'm going to give you more practical ways, actual things people may say to you that get said often, and I'm going to give you some good answers to give back to it. This week is more of the theory behind it. This is more of the getting you prepared for that. But I will give you one before we go, and that is this. That's interesting. Learn to say, quote, that's interesting. Now, this is not original with me. Back when I was in Bible college, Brother Tom Sexton, he's the brother of Clarence Sexton, he taught us this, and it's a great thing to have. Somebody can say something you completely disagree with. They might say, well, I thought Hillary Clinton was the greatest hope for America. What do you say back? You don't say, what do you not say back?
That's interesting.
Well, hold on. What do you not say back? You don't say back, I think she's a dirty, rotten scoundrel, and I think she's the most corrupt politician in American history, and how dare you say that? Because you know what you've done at that point? You're not on the conversation anymore. And they have already, now they don't like you. So what do you say? Well, you can't say, oh, I think she's pretty great too. That's lying. You're not going to be a liar. So what do? Well, that's interesting. And keep going. Right? I've had people come up and say, I think we're all living in a dream world and that we're going to just wake up one day and find out none of this was real. That person is probably clinically insane. But what do you say to them? You say, oh, that's interesting. And you continue toward the point, right? The devil is throwing things at you while you're soul winning. He's putting blockades in your path. You know what you have to do? Sidestep and go around and keep going, right? Don't hit it head on and go and try to bust through a wall. You can't do it. What are you going to do? Go around, keep on going. Don't let them sidestep you. Like I said, next week we'll get into some more practical, actual things that'll come up. But that's kind of what I have this week. We're going to be looking, of course, this week and next week at overcoming objections. I'm going to be really, really nice this week because I did not bring my... I've got a whole list of lessons, and each one has its own memory verse. And since I didn't bring my notes, I'll be honest, I can't remember which memory verse I picked for this week. So you all are going without homework. Y'all should act like a bunch of high school kids. Go, whee! Freedom.
What was John 4 you were talking about?
John 4? That's where we're talking about the woman at the well.
John 4 what?
Well, John 4, the woman at the well is
chapter 4.
It's verse, kind of verse 1 through about verse 26 is mainly where I was talking about. And then, of course, the memory verse from last week was John 1:12, if anybody needed to get that. We'll go over that again. I'll give you an extra week to learn that one. All right, let's pray and we'll go. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you so much for this class that meets in here. And I pray, Father, you'd bless them. Lord, help them to be able to see some souls saved from their own testimony and their own witness. Lord, to encourage them to do it even more. And ask it in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. All right. You're free to go if you want to. Any questions or anything? I don't do this a whole lot, but are there any questions? Or has anyone had anything come up maybe while we're doing this, and then you just say, what in the world do I do here?
I talked to someone.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That's great. How'd it go?
It went great. I had my mother out for errands, and she's elderly.
Yeah.
And my mom says, what's this little lady doing? She's holding a sign up that way.